Drifting through the vast expanse of our galaxy, we have encountered thousands of distinct Xeno species who have, at some point in time, set their eyes upon the lofty goal of holding utter dominion over the stars. With that being said, there is one group whose history exists as somewhat of a tragic and cautionary tale, and that would be of the enigmatic Eldari. Their celestial domain stretched not only across our galaxy, but also throughout their labyrinthine network of the Webway, which spanned between the impossibility of the warp and of our own realm of physical reality. With their unmatched position as galactic rulers, the Eldar began to fall into a state of arrogance and eventually decadence. They had reached their zenith of technological prowess, so why should they not use their boons to experience all of life's great pleasures? At this point, their society began to transition away from one of work and labor into one of hedonism and debauchery. Most Eldar simply resided within vast palaces hidden deep in the Webway, where they would relish in finding new and more extreme art forms to partake in, which soon began to border on the excessive. Being an incredibly psychically sensitive species, it was inevitable for these emotionally intensive actions to eventually cause ripples within the warp. But the Eldar never could have anticipated the true scale of the hellish tsunami which was soon to come. Some of their species had already begun to reject these depraved and disgusting acts, and so they fled from their home planets to vast void ships known as craft worlds in order to escape from the sickening ways of their kin. The majority of Eldari, however, had no qualms with their new and indulgent way of life. They watched their siblings depart before quickly returning to their dens of inequity, eager to explore new potential sources of pleasure. Those who remained were painfully wrong in their presumption that their shameless activities could continue without consequence. By the 30th millennium, the corrupted and debauched acts of the pleasure cultists had resulted in the manifestation of a vile entity within the swirling tides of the warp. The emotional energies initially appeared as stray spirits and wisps. However, these soon coalesced into a gestalt demonic creature whose nefarious powers were rapidly swelling to the scale of the chaos gods themselves. This entity was named as Slaanesh, the Prince of Pleasure, and their birth marked not only their ascension into the dark pantheon as the fourth god of chaos, but it also spelled the ultimate end of the Eldari Empire. As Slaanesh was born, every living Eldari within the galaxy felt a horrific clawing deep within their souls. With an impossible howl, the new god burst into life, causing reality itself to buckle and break. This huge rift became known as the Eye of Terror, and for over 10 millennia it has stood as a gaping wound which exposes the galaxy to the tumultuous flames of the Immaterium. Billions of Eldari died in the single terrifying moment of Slaanesh's birth, with their spirits being sucked into the warp by the greedy and ravenous god, leaving naught but empty husks left behind them. In that moment, the ancient and venerable Eldari Empire came to its sudden, ultimate end. Nevertheless, it was not to be the end of their entire species. As previously stated, many had chosen to flee to the huge craft worlds in an effort to seek refuge from their fallen brethren. And it was here, in these floating cities, that they formed a new way of life. A craft world is an incomparably massive void ship, being so large that it can dwarf entire fleets or small moons. They drift through the cosmic web as the final remaining vestiges of the once great and mighty Eldari civilization, and within their wraithbone halls, they carry the final surviving members of their species who survived the tragic fall of their ancient empire. Whilst they are only capable of slowly sailing at sublight speeds, The vessels each contain upon them dozens of small webway gates, which allow the Eldari to freely travel to any corner of the galaxy and quickly return to the ship once their mission has been completed. These gates can range in size from being just small enough to fit a single Eldari through them, to being large enough for an entire Eldari raiding fleet to depart out of. Sometimes, however, small expeditions like this will not be of a sufficiently large enough scale to complete an Eldari goal. If the craft world itself is under threat, or if a combined Eldari force is required around a distant star, then the Farseers can direct the vast void ships to massive and hidden portals within the forgotten depths of the webway, and this will allow the entire vessel to rapidly reposition itself to near anywhere across the galaxy. As an important note on the webway, I must mention that traversing it is not as simple as it may seem. The actual network is incredibly fractured and disjointed, with entire sections having been lost to the warp or to fouler forces who lurk within its dark recesses. Similarly, the actual threads of the webway are ever shifting, and paths which were previously thought of as safe will simply detach themselves from the network, only to reattach to a distant node, much to the confusion of whoever was traversing it. Because of this, many individual Eldar expeditions, or even entire craft worlds, have been forever lost deep within the fickle labyrinth of the webway. It is unknown if they shall ever be recovered or contacted again. A craft world may have emerged from its travels deep within the Immaterium, causing its inhabitants to be brutally devoured by ravenous demons. Some lost vessels, however, are simply thought to be stranded upon a severed web, and perhaps in time they will be able to map and traverse this tangled realm to make their way back home. Each one of these craft worlds is entirely self-sufficient, and the largest may be home to millions of individual Eldar, who each work within the path of the Asuriani to best preserve their fragile society and to avoid the temptations of flesh which previously damned them. Across the vessel, we will find dozens of temples and shrines dedicated towards the various warrior paths of the Eldar. Within these facilities will be vast training grounds, rooms for meditation, and intricate statues which display the profound beauty of their warrior path. The sheer scale of these vessels is unlike anything else within the galaxy. There are entire areas upon a craft world which have grown into verdant forests, containing within them their own lush ecosystem of animals, insects, and microorganisms which were recovered from the ancient worlds of the Eldari. These areas of natural beauty are carefully tended to and preserved by the Eldar, for they truly treasure all which they were able to recover from the days before the fall. In addition to providing calm areas of serenity, the biospheres also provide the rest of the craft world with breathable air, which is carried and vented across the entire starship. Furthermore, these areas provide a bounty of natural resources, which are continuously harvested and utilized by the craft world's inhabitants. Even the more urban areas of these ships are a sight to behold. Huge domes envelop the dynamic living quarters and esoteric workshops, providing the inhabitants within them with a staggering and inspiring view of the entire galaxy above them. An important note to mention is that the craft worlds are actually growing in size. Since the days of the fall, most craft worlds have expanded by around 10 to 100 times, all to accommodate new facilities and newborn children. With that being said, there are some portions of the craft worlds which stand in near abandonment, but in the majority of these cases, the Eldari are simply waiting for the right time to rebuild, refurbish, and repopulate the sector. Eldari craft-worlders will often trade with their exodite cousins upon maiden worlds, whereby they will use the small webway portals to travel down, swapping valuable resources and stories between the two groups before departing back to their void-dwelling homes. Sometimes, a wayward Eldari may see the life of a maiden world as preferable to the strict Asuryani lifestyle of the craft worlds, and so they will bid their farewells and depart for a new life as an exodite. This vibrant and bustling relationship between the craft worlders and the exodites keeps the two diverse groups as stalwart allies to one another, who will readily extend a hand of aid to the other during times of darkness. Despite the Eldar being united in prolonging their existence, the craft worlds themselves should be seen as entirely independent entities from one another. As it stands today, each vessel can trace its origins to a single or group of planets in the old Eldar Empire, and as such, their cultural views and practices are completely distinct. For example, the craft world of Beeltan is inhabited by denizens who are almost completely absorbed and consumed with the overwhelming sting of poignant bitterness towards having seen their empire fall. They constantly strive towards carving a bloody swathe throughout the galaxy, finding no qualms in committing xenocidal campaigns if it brings them closer to glory. This is greatly contrasted by the denizens of Ulthwe, who only commit themselves to battle if they truly believe that it will somehow aid the Eldari in preserving their own lives. The powerful Council of Seers upon Ulthwe is home to some of the most potent and talented psykers across the entire galaxy, who have somewhat committed themselves towards monitoring and facing off against any emergent forces of chaos should they manifest themselves throughout the galaxy. They believe that by preventing a single stone from falling, that they may prevent an avalanche, and so they will constantly act to manipulate and divert the other species of the galaxy in order to enact their wills. Dotted across the craft world, there are gargantuan starports and docks which hold the bulk of the Eldari space fleet. Vast numbers of nimble and highly advanced void crafts will be maintained here by the Bonesingers, and their crews will always find their living quarters nearby, allowing them to quickly dash down to pilot these archaic and treasured vessels. The actual ships of the Eldari fleet are incredible feats of engineering. Some vessels, such as the Eclipse-class cruiser, are considered as being perhaps the finest and most dangerous of attack crafts which have been encountered throughout the galaxy. Their ships use delicate solar sails to aid in their propulsion, and since their lithe hulls are constructed from wraith bone, they are incredibly fast, and they can use their superior maneuverability to simply avoid the crude rockets and torpedoes of enemy navies. Now for the actual craft worlds themselves. Despite their monumental size, they too are constructed from the exotic material of wraith bone. To explain this mysterious substance, we must first acknowledge some of the key aspects of Eldari engineering. For the Eldar, their technology is rather strongly tied to biological principles. From their perspective, there is no true difference between what was built by nature and with what they constructed themselves, as they are simply two sides of the coin of life. In their ancient mythos, the gods gave birth to all of life itself, and in some ways, the Eldari continued with this tradition by incorporating some essence of psychic power within their creations. Most of the Eldari materials are incredibly complex alloys of various psychoplastics, which can be molded and formed into new shapes and frames through the pressure of psionic might. Because these materials are somewhat psychically sensitive, they can react and change according to their environments, much in the same way that a living organism would. The material itself is also incredibly durable when compared to conventional substances of other species. Despite it being incredibly flexible, it has still been shown to be far more resilient than even adamantium, making its creations incredibly difficult to destroy. That being said, should a construct of wraithbone become damaged, then it can slowly mend itself to return to its previous shape. This feature can be somewhat compared to a plant, which can regrow leaves or flowers should they be severed. This is a rather slow and sometimes imperceivable process to all but the Eldari themselves, and it may take around a year for small areas of damage to repair themselves. But this can be highly accelerated through the psychic song of a bone singer. With an understanding of this strange material, let us return to its role within the structure of a craft world. As stated, the foundations of these vessels is that of a great wraithbone skeleton, upon which all other structures have been erected. At the deepest center of the craft world, we will find a gigantic knotted core of wraithbone, which spreads out through the ship, interlacing itself through the skeleton and connecting to each and every building which stands there. In some ways, this can be seen as the beating heart of a craft world, with its appendages being the vascular system, pumping psychic energy throughout the craft. This core will act as a reservoir of wraithbone to be used for repairing damage to the ship or to construct new dwellings for the residing Eldari. The psychic energies which it provides are also incredibly vital for the functioning of the craft world. All Eldar draw some power from its latent presence, and the Farseers can amplify its psionic field to better understand the twisting strands of fate as they appear before them. All systems and devices upon the craft world rely upon the psychic powers of the Wraithbone core. The engines, lights, and weapons systems all draw energy from this psychic power grid. It is impossible to imagine a craft world existing without the psychically infused Wraithbone, since it exists as an innate feature of the material. But this now brings us to an important question. Where does this psychic energy actually come from? Everything which I have just described to you as the Wraithbone core of a craft world goes by a different name to the Eldari, and they refer to this structure as the Infinity Circuit. This vast matrix contains within it the deceased souls of every Eldar to have ever resided upon the craft world, as well as any who could be recovered from the abandoned crone worlds which stand as the hollow remains of the ancient Eldari worlds from before the fall. All Eldar fear their fate of having their soul consumed by Slaanesh, and so the existence of the Infinity Circuit provides them with something of a protected afterlife, where their eternal essence shall always be safeguarded from she who thirsts. When an Eldari dies, their soul will be captured by a shining gem known as a spirit stone. This is a psychically receptive crystal which has been entirely attuned to the mind and soul of its wearer, and it will capture the departing spirit of an Eldari upon the moment of their death. Protecting the souls of their kin is one of the most important and vital aspects of the Eldari society. After a battle, one of the highest priority tasks will be to recover the spirit stones of all who have fallen, and these will be taken back to the craft world to allow its incumbent spirit to finally rest at peace. The spirit seers and noble Eldari will take these spirit stones and will implant it within a biodome. These structures are built directly above the potent heart of the Infinity Circuit, and after but a short few days, the planted stone will begin to take root. Once the crystal finally connects to the Wraithbone core, then the nestled Eldari soul is released into the Infinity Circuit, where it may join in its ancestors and kin to finally be at rest. Having become a part of this network, the Eldari soul shall continue to exist, and as it is contained within the craft world itself, it shall forever be safe from the predation of starved demons, who would gleefully see the Infinity Circuit as nothing but an incomparable buffet of Eldari delights. The psychic powers of the Eldar spirits still persist within the Infinity Circuit, and it is from their deceased majesty that the craft world draws its power. That being said, when in this state each soul still exists as a separate, distinct entity, they do not blend into some gestalt, blur of souls, but they instead retain their individuality, forever living on with their kindred. The Infinity Circuit is one of the greatest treasures of the Eldari, and they will never reveal its existence to any alien species, lest they risk the fates of their ancestors. In some dire circumstances, the Eldari may be placed in a desperate situation where they will need to recall the souls of their kin to fight on in terrible, near unwinnable battles. This is only ever done as a last resort, since the risk of losing a departed soul is almost too great for the Eldari. But when faced with a threat of such awful proportions that the craft world itself may be destroyed, then the dead are called forth to walk again. A soul may be plucked from the Infinity Circuit and placed within a wraith-bone construct, such as a wraith knight, which allows the deceased Eldari to fight once more, bringing ruin and destruction to the enemies of the Eldar. With that being said, this is only done in the most dire of times, and for the majority of Eldar souls, the Infinity Circuit will remain as the ultimate refuge for their eternal spirits. Farseers can still commune with the souls of those within this matrix, and it is here that the dead may continue to give guidance and counsel to the living. There is an ancient myth amongst some Eldari cult followers who believe that when the final living Eldar eventually dies and their soul is joined with the Infinity Circuit, that the combined psychic power of every deceased Eldari will coalesce to form Inead, the god of the dead. The legend says that this harrowing figure will be powerful enough to wage war and finally obliterate Slaanesh, freeing the devoured souls of all who were consumed. And it is from this action that the Eldari will be reborn, and their species will be able to begin again. Craft worlds, which are ever hidden and kept shrouded by the powers of the Eldari, are some of the most well-guarded and elusive of places within the entire galaxy. Rarely has any alien species ever set foot upon its wraithbone streets as an honored guest, and it is doubtful that any human would ever be invited to witness the true scale of a craft world. During a truly disastrous conflict known as the Battle of the Blood Nebula, an Imperial fleet attempted to wage direct war against one of these floating world ships, but they were only to meet with a catastrophic fate. The entire naval force was obliterated, and this harrowing loss led to the Imperial admirals to alter their stance towards encountering a craft world. In the aftermath of this battle, the new policy dictated that the Eldari fleets should be given a wide berth and that they should treat the enigmatic craft worlders with prudence and caution, lest they meet their fiery fate at the hands of these ancients. Every individual upon a craft world is a prized and highly trained warrior who will put down their life to protect and guard the safety of all within their home. In all likelihoods, we will never see the true beauty and majesty of a craft world ourselves, so we are left only to imagine the sheer glory of that which exists within their drifting, void-dwelling homes.